You know what seldom makes a conflict better? More people getting involved. I'm not talking about objective third parties like counselors. I'm a big fan of counseling. I go twice a month. And I'm also not talking about healthy partnership with good boundaries. I'm a big fan of healthy partnerships, reasonable requests, and good follow-through. I'm talking about when you're in a mess and someone else just barrels right into it. And now your mess is even bigger and more complicated with another person involved and may have started to spill over into other relationships like a bathtub that just went over the top. It can happen without request. Some well-meaning person swooping in an attempt to rescue us. Or it can happen with, if not because, of our own invitation. Someone responding to us asking for them to get involved with something that was with someone else. But in these situations, every person is not only in a difficult spot. In these situations, everyone ends up being a difficult person who needs to be dealt with. My favorite expression for this, what I'll call mess multiplication issue, my favorite expression for this is naming it triangulation. Maybe you've heard of this. At its simplest, triangulation is a conflict or issue between two people complicated by a third person, going from what used to be a line to a triangle. So let's play this out with something innocuous. Let's say, hey, Brandon, can I borrow you? So let's say that Brandon doesn't like my tie.
I don't like your tie.
I've got a tie. Brandon doesn't like it. This is a Brad and Brandon problem. But instead of Brandon talking to me about it, he gets Peter. Can I borrow you for a second? He gets Peter involved. And whether he does this subtly, you know, Peter, I wish someone would talk to Brad about his tacky tie. Or maybe he does it overtly. Peter, would you please talk to Brad about that tie? Now, instead of a Brad and Brandon problem, we have a triangle. We have a Brad and Peter problem, we have a Brad and Brandon problem, and we have a Peter and Brandon problem. You see, triangles multiply problems because now I have a problem with Peter. Good morning. Not just for not liking my tie, but now I've got a problem with Peter for getting involved in the whole thing. And in every triangle, it usually comes out who invited the third person in. So now I'm frustrated with Brandon for getting Peter involved and for not liking my tie. So now Peter has a problem with my tie, which he may never have cared about or noticed before. And now he's got a problem with me having a problem with him, and he's got a problem with Brandon for getting him involved. And Brandon has a problem with Peter for not fixing the problem and somehow making it worse, even though he's the one that got him involved into it, and now Brandon's going to be mad at me for making him an issue with Brandon, and nothing has changed his original problem, and he still doesn't like my tie. You don't need a PhD in metaphors to realize I'm not talking about my tie. It could be a behavior, a missed opportunity, an invitation that wasn't extended, an opinion. It can be anything. And suddenly we go from one simple thing that could have been a conversation into the mess that I just named out loud. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. From how you handled a situation at work, to the way you parent, to a comment that was made, or to a long-standing family issue. We all have something somebody doesn't like, just like we all have things other people are doing that don't work for us either. As we talk about triangles today, I need you to clearly hear, we all play all three of these roles all the time. Like every day, we get involved in stuff that isn't ours. We get involved in stuff that others have going on that isn't theirs, and others get involved in our stuff. You know, if Brandon would have talked directly to me about my tie, I still might have been frustrated. We still had something we'd need to work through, but we only had one something. Remember when it was just about the tie? Suddenly there's that giant mess I articulated, and now we have a lot more to deal with. One of my commitments, not just in this series, but in every sermon I ever preach, is that we always go to our scriptures. And there are some good ones today. I almost went with the solution scriptures, right? We've got a problem. Let's turn to the Bible and find that solution. There are scriptures that tell us to be direct, encouraging us to speak the truth in love when we have an issue with someone. There's also scriptures that invite us to go directly to a person and have a conversation anytime there's a grievance with someone who has wronged us. That's all in our scriptures. Clear and simple instructions on how to handle these situations. Brandon could have spoken his truth in love to me. Peter could have encouraged Brandon to talk directly to me and stayed out of it. I could have asked Peter, whoever originally brought this up with you, would you just ask them to come talk to me? There's always a way to detriangle things wherever you are in the geometry, if we will pause and take a moment. In our scriptures, they advise us on how we might do some. But those scriptures aren't the ones I wanted to build the majority of my sermon on today. No, I wanted to look at triangulation of biblical proportions. So we're going to. We're going to start in Matthew, when Jesus gets triangled into some family drama. Here the story is told in Matthew. So the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of Jesus. "What is it that you want?" Jesus asked. And the mother said, "Grant that one of these, my two sons, might sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink from the cup that I am going to drink?" "Oh, we can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared for by God." When the other 10 disciples heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Now, it just mentions the sons of Zebedee. This is James and John who we're talking about here, two of the 12 disciples. And James and John are the sons whose mom brings them along. And whether they were pulled by their mom into this triangle or they pulled her into it, the boy's issue with Jesus is now a triangle with mom making things worse by trying to help them out. Now, what these two guys should have talked about to Jesus is just something they wanted to talk about. But instead, we now have them and Jesus, their issue, their mom, Jesus' issue with their mom's issue with Jesus, their mom's issue with them, and you see how this begins to unfold. And moving from triangulation 101 to triangulation 201, the other disciples hop into this entire situation and create a second triangle inside the other triangle, right? You got Jesus and the Zebedee family and the disciples around Jesus and the Zebedee. It's a thing. And before you know it, it's a 27-sided polygon and there's lines going everywhere. It's a double triangle with the original triangle surrounded by a second one. And everything just falls back in on itself. In fact, when it comes to families, I have seen triangulation so complicated and multiplied and layered. Like, right, you got your triangle and they're like, "Did you know that he created a triangle?" And then suddenly everybody pulls everybody else in. You could map it out, but it would look like a spirograph. Remember where you take the little gear and you just keep drawing line upon line upon line and it's all a big mess. But did you catch how Jesus tried to detriangle this thing? When mom asked him the question, he answered to the boys, "You don't know what you're asking," he said to them. He called it what it was, their issue with him that they brought somebody else into. Now, this isn't the only triangle Jesus will find himself in. The gospel is filled with Jesus in the midst of triangles, and he usually handles them quite well. He's good at this stuff. There's an interesting one where King Herod tries to triangle Jesus with Pontius Pilate. Hey, let's have them kill him instead of us. It's one of the better known triangles in the New Testament. But of all things, Rome's ruler, Pontius Pilate, offers that "I wash my hands of this" response. It's an interesting boundary he sets. Hey, King Herod, not my problem. Though it's still not cool. This actually brings up a moment where it's very important to name intervention into a situation where someone is being abused, neglected, or harassed may be a triangle, but it is acceptable to step in when there is someone in need in such a way. Now, another one of my favorite biblical triangles involves a talking donkey. Of all things, it's in the book of Numbers, which is usually a pretty boring read until you get to this section. There's a guy named Balaam. He's in the midst of some things. So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. Okay, there's some other backstory here, but we'll save that for Bible study. So he gets up, saddles his donkey, and goes with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went. So the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn in his hand, the donkey turned off the road into a field. So Balaam beat it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards. There were walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed so close against the wall, it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it laid down under Balaam, refusing to move. Balaam was angry and beat it with a stick. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "Well, no," Balaam said. And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn, and he bowed down low and fell upon his face. Okay, we don't need to get into the backstory with the whole Moabite issue, though it is interesting and has much triangulation of its own. We don't need to get into the fact that the donkey starts talking and Balaam just has a conversation with it. But I like this story of triangulation because instead of three people, it's more like two people and a situation. Okay, well, when I say two people, I mean a human and a donkey. But they're dealing with a situation that's represented by an angel. So let's unpack this. For our purposes, in this metaphor, the angel isn't a metaphor for a person. It's a problem or a situation that needs to be dealt with. Balaam has a problem with this situation in his life, and he's trying to take a third person, the donkey, right into it with him. The fact that the situation is invisible to Balaam only makes this more applicable. How many times are we or those we love oblivious to the ways we are heading deeper right into a problematic situation and trying to drag other people with us? And so we end up creating triangles when we drag them with us. There's the problem that I have, the situation in life, and the people I'm dragging with me suddenly are involved in it too. So the donkey sees this triangle coming and sets a boundary. The donkey basically says, "I'm not getting involved in this." And as boundaries sometimes do, said boundary upset the person it was given to and made him uncomfortable. But the donkey knew well enough to hold that boundary even when Balaam pushed back. Because dealing with Balaam's momentary frustration was better than dealing with getting dragged into the situation that he was about to be pulled into. But this awesome donkey doesn't want to be in a triangle with Balaam and a sword-wielding angel. And by staying out of it, the donkey created space for Balaam to have to confront and deal with the situation appropriately on his own. And if you're really looking for a proof text on avoiding triangles and holding boundaries as something that's divine and sanctioned by God, I will point out that God is such a fan of detriangulating, he made a donkey talk to support it. My guess is that we are all, in our own ways, riding unknowingly into some triangle in our lives, a situation we need to deal with, but our denial risks us dragging someone unknowingly into the mess with us. I'm also pretty sure we're all being ridden into someone else's mess. And I pray that we might be the one to speak up and prevent this triangulated disaster. This reflection on triangles is important because they come up so often. They do. What could have been simple suddenly gets multiplied out and we don't even know where to begin. And sometimes you can't even remember what the original problem was. When these things form, they divert our energy from work that could have fixed a simple problem. Or even if it wasn't a simple problem, it sure would have been simpler when it was just one thing. These triangles turn our energy from these newly created problems that won't fix the original cause. It happens in families between people. It happens in organizations between departments. It happens on playgrounds between classmates, and it happens in churches. Oh, have I seen it happen in churches? Responding to an invitation to get triangled with someone, we're invited to be more aware. Hey, why don't you go talk to them yourself? Or if need be, how can I help you have the conversation directly with them? I'm not going to leave you unsupported, but I'm not getting in the middle of it. Responding to someone who got triangled in, you've got triangled in with, I'd be glad to talk to them about it, I just don't need you to be in the middle, is also an act of wisdom. So here we might respond with grace or with wisdom, having conversations ourselves when we have a problem with someone instead of dragging another person in. That's an act of strength. This is the invitation this day, to seek out the grace to respond, the wisdom to stay out of it, and the strength to not start it in the first place. For we are people who are called into relationships, and it is my prayer that we might all embody the grace and the wisdom and the strength to share love and relationship in healthy ways. Amen.